Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And even though the weather may not always look like it this time of year, we are coming up on golf season. And I thought this would be a great time to bring in somebody who knows a lot about golf and golf courses. Joining me right now is Jeff Simpson. He is the assistant superintendent from the Portage Lake Golf Course. Jeff, welcome to the program.
No problem. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Now, we have a lot of times winters seem to last forever. This is one of the years that it's kind of breaking a little early. We're here in April, and I imagine that you guys have been hard at work at cleaning up and getting things ready over there.
Yeah, it's always good to get out early to get a jump on cleaning up. You know, we got a lot of old trees out there, so we always got a lot of sticks to pick up, a little bit of raking, and just getting all the stuff out, the tee balls and the OB sticks, and just getting a quick jump on the season.
I wanted to use this time here, the next 25 minutes or so that we have, to talk about a few different topics related to golf. One, of course, generally for anybody that's out there that golfs, and I am a golfer myself, not a very good one, and I don't know too many people, if you ask, hey, do you golf? Yeah, well, I'm great, too, at it. I never make any mistakes. It's a great sport. I love it. And also, I want to talk a little bit about golf in general, the sport, and maintaining a golf course, which is something you'd be an expert on, having worked for so many years at the Portage Lake Golf Course. Let's start with there. Give me a little bit of background about the course. Everybody's kind of familiar with it if you're from the Houghton area and you think of it as Michigan Tech's golf course.
Yeah, the course, you know, was bought in 1903, I believe, for a dollar. And, you know, the back nine is you know, over 100 years old, and the front nine was built in the early 70s, I believe 1972. So they're kind of two different nines. You know, the back nine's a little more tree lined, and the front nine's a little bit more wide open and a little bit more modern.
Now, as I said, you know, people think of it as Michigan Tech's golf course. Is it open to the public?
Yes, it is. I mean, we try to get influence more people to come out there. You know, we try to keep it in the best shape we can. And yeah, we encourage people to come out and play and just have fun is the main thing.
Do you get a lot of students there?
Yes, we do. You know, ever since the new package came in at Michigan Tech, where it's in their enrollment, we get a lot of students, mostly till they graduate in May, and then a little bit more in the fall when they come back.
What about like leagues and things? Do you have different groups that play?
Yes, we have a men's league on Thursday, and we have a women's league, I believe, on Tuesday. Monday, that is. Yeah, women's league is on Monday. So, you know, the men's league is fairly good size. There's not as many women, but we would encourage more women to hopefully come out so we can grow that league a little bit.
Having been in this area for now about 6 years, I was really surprised moving up here. You know, you don't think of the Upper Peninsula as a place for golf courses when you come from downstate. You know, you, of course, about the snowmobiling and the skiing and the summers just aren't very long. So I was really surprised when I came up here, and within a short amount of distance from where you and I are sitting right now, I could probably rattle off about half a dozen golf courses that are not very far.
Yeah, I mean, we're the only 18-hole golf course until you get to about probably Ishpeming. But, you know, El Calumet has a nice course, Lawrence has a course, you know, Twin Lakes has a course. But, you know, Graywalls in Marquette is obviously one of the top-ranked public courses. And then you got, you know, Sweetgrass, which is only 3 hours away. And they're building a new 18 holes there, so they'll have 36. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot of courses in the area, for, like you said, for such a short season.
Even all the way up to Copper Harbor with the Keweenaw Mountain Lodge.
Copper Harbor has a historic course up there that's been there, you know, many, many years. So, yeah, you're right. It's nice to have a little bit of variety.
Now, living in Calumet, I, of course, pass the Calumet Golf Course every single day. And so a lot of times that will be where I go because it's on the way. And if I get home, it's hard to grab the clubs and go back to the course. But boy, going home, it's like, oh, honey, I got stuck at the office a little bit longer. So yeah. I haven't golfed Portage Lake. So tell me a little bit about the course, how tough it is for your average golfer in it.
You know, Portage Lake, it's a nice little challenge. It got small greens. You know, the greens on the back that are really a lot smaller than the greens on the front nine. And, you know, we take a lot of pride and we get it. We want it to be healthy and aesthetically pleasing. And we get the fairways pretty tight and looking beautiful. And we're on a spraying program on the greens, top dressing program. So we're known for having, you know, some of the best greens in the area. We've had people come from out of town that just played, you know, maybe a PGA style course, and ACR greens are, you know, right there with, or is better than, you know, what they just played. So, you know, we take a lot of pride in what we do out there and try to make it the best we can.
I know from what scares me the most are those narrow fairways and some of the golf courses that I've been on. You know, I've about perfected a, you know, a good angle on my slice. So, you know, just trying to get it the straight now. You know, yeah. I kind of feel like if I would just turn a little bit and, you know, try to shoot off the tee a little bit at an angle, I'd have much better drive. But from going out to the Portage Lake and driving through there a couple of years ago, I mean, the fairways looked nice. It looked like a very inviting place to go and golf.
Yeah, we try to keep it friendly. We got a great staff inside with, you know, Mark Morosky and Paul Sinkowski, and we got a small grounds crew, but friendly. We got a lot of guys that take pride in what they do, and they're knowledgeable. And golf's an intimidating game, so the main thing is try to get out there and have fun. Get with a group of people that you can just go enjoy, because it's I think it's the best game in the world, but it's probably one of the hardest games in the world also.
Yeah, it can definitely be frustrating. And, you know, the old saying about how a bad day at golf is better than a good day at work, and you know, it's definitely true. But there are times when you're out there and you almost would rather be anywhere than you are right now, as you're sitting there next to that tree and wondering how you're going to get your ball around it. Winter sets in here. You guys probably close down somewhere in October, I would imagine.
Yes, we usually close the course officially in about around middle of October, but we let our members come out and let it rip till the snow flies. But, you know, I'm usually out there till mid-November. We try to suck up all the leaves, blow all the leaves, and get everything off the course clean. So when spring does come, then we got a lot more grass popping. We don't have as much matted down leaves, not a lot of raking. So, you know, the earlier the snow flies, that hurts us. But if we can get at least till Thanksgiving, we can usually get the course pretty clean if the leaves cooperate falling off the trees.
Now, during those months, as somebody who's kind of in charge of keeping the course up to snuff when the spring comes, what do you do during the wintertime when it's just piled with snow? Anything?
No, there's not much you can do. I mean, we do our last spray. You know, we spray the greens with chemicals to winterize them, basically. You know, it's basically almost like a glue you put down with chemicals that keep the snow mold off and all the various diseases that you don't want to get. So we've been pretty fortunate over the years with that. Our greens come out pretty pristine every year. But other than that, I mean, the mechanic winterizes all the equipment. You know, we got probably 40 pieces of equipment that he has to, you know, stabilize and go through all the stuff and get it ready for, you know, get it ready for spring.
And it's not just the grass. There's, of course, the, you know, different water, you know, whether it's a creek or a pond that you have in there, and the trees, and trying to keep everything monitored and healthy as well.
Yeah, you know, we have 100, I think we have 125 acres total. We got a maintainable 80 acres of that, you know, mowing wise. But we're fortunate we have the Pilgrim River down there that we can pump water. We pump water from that into our pond on number two and water off of that. We have, you know, electronic system that we can just punch in, and, you know, we can do it, you know, manually, each hole, each green, or we can just set it to just do tees, greens, fairways, whatever program we want to set it on. So in that aspect, that really helps. It's better me out there with a hose in your hand and watering by hand.
Sure, yeah. So when springtime comes and the snow melts, do you get a lot of retained water that's there?
You know, every year is different. This year, people probably think it's wet, but it's fairly dry out there. We had if you get that slow thaw, which was nice, you know, it can dry out pretty nice. I mean, there's other years, it might be a little more wet. You know, it's kind of hit and miss on that aspect.
Yeah, I kind of see what you mean about this year. I tried to take that drive up Lake Linden to see the waterfalls that come down, you know, usually every year, and this year they were, you know, practically dry. Yeah. Because, yeah, you're right about the slow melt. About how big of a crew does it take them to get the course ready?
You know, we usually only have a few people out there in the spring, but, you know, we get a few football players come in. We get two football players from Michigan Tech, usually two great guys. But, you know, we only have about 6-7 guys total at the most, and there's only about 3 or 4 of us that are there from beginning till end. So, you know, like I said, we got a small crew. Well, we got guys like Jim Parker, his son Jason Parker, Bruce Laughlin, who lives out past Lake Linden, that know, they're knowledgeable. They all take pride in what they do. And we just, like you said, we try to grind it out every day and just give the best experience to the golfer we can.
About a month ago, I was at a function for Michigan Tech. It was Parents' Day, and they had passes. And with passes, it said that they were good for that weekend. This would be like, you know, middle of March. They were good for that weekend for the Portage Lake Golf Course.
Yeah.
They said, well, is your golf course open? Of course, there's plenty of snow on the ground. Well, no. I said, well, you know, why did you give me a pass to go use the golf course for good for this weekend only? And the golf course wasn't open. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I assume that even the driving range at that time wasn't even probably open and ready to go. Clubhouse, maybe.
Yeah.
Go sit at the clubhouse and enjoy a pretty good burger, I bet. When is everything set to open?
Well, the driving range, I believe, is opening on Monday. You know, we've been trying to work on alternative driving ranges right now. It's ideally, it's not the best right now, but it's a nice little driving range. But it kind of goes out towards our maintenance garage, so it's a little bit... We're trying to hopefully maybe get some land and get a new driving range. But, yeah, that's going to open Monday. Tentatively, we're going to try to open the course, I think, hopefully this weekend. But weather permitting, we're going to see if we got the course ready to go here. So hopefully driving range, you know, today maybe. And then, you know, the course coming up here maybe in 3-4 days.
Oh, that's still pretty good. I mean, yeah. We're still talking April opening. So, I mean, again, like I said, we've seen a lot of years where you're probably not opening up to mid-May, if not closer to June.
Yeah, I mean, we typically are usually open by May 1st, you know, sometimes middle of May. But, you know, on the off years, you know, when that El Nino year, I know we opened April 1st or April 2nd. I think Calumet was the same way. Mm-hmm. They're usually about a month behind us because they got a little more snow and takes a little longer for them to melt. Plus, they're a little wetter up there. So, yeah, I mean, it's good to get it. If we can get mid-April and April, that's always a good thing.
Hmm. When it comes to keeping the course looking as good as it does all through the year, you know, one of the things that any golfer notices, they always talk about the greens, you know, how fast or slow a green is, how well it's maintained. How much attention do you have to pay once the sun's out, once you have wet, regular weather? How much effort does it take to maintain that pristine look?
You know, it's always a process, you know, especially when it's hot. You know, last year we had hot, humid weather, and humidity is tough because you got to keep the water on them, but then it holds the water. So, you know, there's many chemicals we spray on them. You know, we spray a growth regulator, which limits the growth, so it makes them faster. So they're not as lush, they're not as thick, but there's other chemicals that we spray to keep them, you know, in great shape. But the greens, are, like you said, are the main thing, and you got to stay on top of them, especially in June, July when the weather's hot.
Number of years ago, I stopped off at my first public golf course. This would have been down in Commerce in downstate Michigan. Little 9-hole course, wasn't anything spectacular, and I thought that would be a good place to start off golfing, since I didn't want to go to any place that was good. And I went in there, and I thought, oh, this is neat. I'll tell the guy that's running the place this is my first time golfing. He would not let me golf. He said, have you ever had a lesson before? I said, no, I just want to go and try golfing. He said, you're not coming on my golf course until you've had a lesson before or you've been golfing, and was turned away at the door. This so happened that a couple of weeks ago, the company was having one of those scrambles. And if you've never golfed before, or if you ever just want to try, a scramble is the best possible way to start. I mean, of course, you want to hit a driving range and, you know, just work on a swing and, you know, just if you've never swung a golf club, hitting the ball is difficult enough. But once you kind of got that down, you know, a scramble is the best place. And because, you know, if you do mess up, if you do end up in the water or in the woods or anywhere else, I can find that, you know, it doesn't really count. You pick up the next ball and go forward. So I just wondered, you know, do you see, you know, people coming out to your golf course that maybe, you know, aren't on the higher skill levels?
Definitely. Like you said, the scramble's fun because you can just, usually they're three-man scrambles, so you can get a group of friends. Like you said, you just take the best shot. It's a little more relaxing. There's not as much pressure on you, so to say. So, you know, scrambles is a great way. That golf is more moving towards scrambles. A lot of people, tournament-wise, you know, would rather play with a team rather than play their own ball. So, yeah, we're lucky in this area because we got pretty much tournaments every weekend around the area, whether it's scrambles or best balls. you know, it's kind of confusing because the best ball seems like you take the best shot, but you take the best score actually in a best ball. Usually it's a two-man best ball. Whoever has the best score in that hole, you take that. But like you said, a scramble, you all rip drives, and whichever is one is the longest usually are the best, you take that and move on. So, you know, that is a good point. If you want to just start getting into golf, go out and have a little scramble with some of your friends and kind of ease into it.
I was real stubborn. I never did get an instructor. I got a book. That's what I said. Tell you how, and I read a book on golf and learned a lot from that book, and then went out and worked a lot of those things. Of course, needless to say, then I had a couple of years of pain of just trying to learn some of the basics. But it was really just such a rewarding, you know, sport to, you know, just to, when you start hitting those shots, you know, much better than when you're just starting out. When you're finally able to walk up, you know, feeling fairly confident. If you don't totally mess up, you're going to at least land your drive on the fairway and go from there. And of course, I have not progressed to the point where I'm going to be challenging anybody. The PGA is perfectly safe. I'm not going to take it by storm. But you know, it's become more fun. I lose a lot fewer balls now than I did when I first started out.
They're expensive too.
Yeah. Oh, I learned to go to the clubhouse at the beginning and buy the spare balls, the ones you get like for a quarter each.
Yeah.
I said, okay, give me about $5 worth of those.
Yeah.
Take them out. And I never pass up a ball lying on the, you know, on the ground that's unclaimed, because I never know when I'm going to need it. But yeah, definitely have gotten much better. Need to get back out to the driving range because I haven't made it out for the last 2 years. But you were saying yourself, because you've been golfing for many, many years.
Yeah, my mom started taking us out to Tapiolo. A guy we knew, Casey, had a few holes on his farm and pretty much got hooked. And I've been playing ever since, you know, playing the league at Portage, play a lot of tournaments over the years with some of my good friends. And, you know, like it's about the only sport I got left. You know, I used to play a lot of baseball, hockey growing up, you know, basketball. But, you know, as you get older, the old joints are getting worse. So golf's something you can, you know, you can keep playing, hopefully, if you keep your flexibility and health for many years.
Well, you kind of raise a good point, and I was going to jump onto a different topic, but I want to touch on that is, you know, unless you're trying to compete in a league or something like that, which, you know, face it, most of us don't do. We play golf for fun.
Yes.
You're always playing yourself against the course. And so you set your skill level, and you know, that's, you know you're not trying to, you know, beat everybody else on the course. You're just trying to do a little bit better than you have. You know, of course, you know, holes have pars and stuff like that, and you know, and birdies, not that I see those very often, but you know, and you're trying to do very good, but yeah. It's yourself. And so if you have physical limitations, like I've got a back condition, you know, my spine is just trying to become one giant bone.
Yeah.
And so I know I can't swing the club like I could 10 years ago. But if I get back out there in the driving range, I can find where my, you know, sort of level of ability is at this time and go from there. So again, you know, maybe I'm not going to be, you know, getting an eagle on a par five, but you know, hey, if I can make par, or even if, you know, if the best I can do is a bogey on it, well then, you know, hey, I'm still playing the game and doing the best I can, you know, during those holes.
Yep. Well, that's a good point you make. I mean, golf's a great game because you got the handicap system, so it levels the playing field. You know, one guy, you know, I'm a 2 handicap, but I might be playing a guy who's a 12 handicap, so I could give him 10 shots during the round, which evens it out. So a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, it goes, you know, averages off your score. It's a little bit lower than your average is your handicap. And that's the great thing about golf. Like in the men's league, if you go out and play someone, you're going to be handicapped. You're going to go out, play different tees. You know, I might play the back tees. They might play the gold tees. So, and it's the same thing about tournaments. You know, you go out and play Saturday and you shoot your score. Some people might say, well, I don't want to play, I'm not good enough. But you're going to get flighted on Saturday. You're going to be in a group of people where they shot the same score you did. So you got a level playing field on Sunday when you go out and play for some prizes. So we have our best ball coming up Memorial Day weekend. We've been trying to build that thing up. I think we had 60-something teams last year. But, you know, it's good to just come out and play, even compete in a tournament. And you're gonna get placed in a group of people where you're all going to be pretty even, unless somebody gets hot that day or played a little worse the first day and plays better the second day. So that's the nice thing about golf. That handicap system and that tournament system levels everything out.
If you're not going to be competing in the different tournaments or different just golf outings, during the week, are there more open tee times?
Yes, there is. I mean, we usually have pretty, you know, you can usually call out there and get on the course. If there's not an open tee time, they'll tavi putter on the putting green and usually squeeze you out there. But, you know, it's very rare that it's booked every day during the week. Weekends are obviously a little busier, but, you know, if you give them a heads up or call ahead, you can usually get a tee time for around the time you want.
What are you seeing as the age levels of people coming on? Now, you have tech, so, you know, that's going to be skewed in that regard. You're going to see a lot of, you know, college students coming out and play. But apart from the college students who can play there for free, in general, do you see young people, are they continuing to play golf or is it going away?
I think it's dropped off a little bit. You know, golf, there's been a lot of courses closing lately. I mean, there's obviously these kids got a lot to do in the summertime. But, you know, we've been pretty good. We got a great junior program out there that Mark Morosti and Paul Sinkowski put together. And we got some volunteers, some younger kids. And we've had a pretty good turnout in that junior program. So that's been fortunate for us. But, you know, you do make a good point that, you know, it'd be nice to get the younger kids involved. You know, it's good for the parents to drop them off out there in the morning and have them on the golf course all day and pick them up at night. But, you know, I think hopefully it's going to pick up here in the next, you know, few years and get some younger kids more involved in golf.
Yeah, well, why not go one step further? If you're a parent, take your kid golfing. After I started learning how to play, I started taking my son, who was a teenager at the time. He was still in high school. And I said, well, come on out with me. I mean, you're not going to be any worse than I am, because I was still fairly new at it, and started same thing. Took him out to the driving range a few times till he can, you know, work on a shot and, you know, get fairly proficient and at least not, you know, mulliganing every single time. But, you know, then we went out a few times together, and it was some of the best time, father and son time, that we ever had. I mean, I was not, you know, I know a lot of people like, you know, that they do fishing, they do hunting, those sort of outdoor sports, and, you know, that's great if you do those. This was something that him and I were able to do. And, you know, now with my daughter, who is just turned 18, and, you know, I asked her just the other day, I said, hey, want to go out and learn how to do some golf this year? And she said, yeah, sure. Why not? And it's a great way to bond with your kids and to pass along the sport to the younger generation.
Definitely. I mean, like you said, if you go out there with the right attitude, have some fun, don't take yourself too serious. I mean, it's like we talked about, it's a tough game. You got that little hole in that little ball, and it seems impossible if you got four shots to get it in that hole, but you know, make it fun, keep it fun, and like you said, it's great to go out there with the family and whack the ball around, and you know, you can get some good conversations going, you know, meet some new people, you know, it's a great game.
You have an advantage. You get to play the same course a whole bunch of times, I bet. When you're not playing Portage Lake, what golf courses do you like to play?
I go up to Calumet usually. I like I said, I'm fortunate. I play in a lot of tournaments, you know, not as much as I used to. I got a little girl now, so, but, you know, I like Ishpeming's course. I like Marquette's course. You know, obviously Escanaba, if people got a chance to go play Sweetgrass, it's really affordable, and it's a great golf course. So, you know, these local courses are good. You know, Calumet got some great greens up there and a nice, you know, they got only 9 holes, but they got a nice, you know, old school layout up there. And yeah, I mean, I pretty much, you know, if I can put a peg in the ground, I'll play anywhere. You know, I like to compete still and have some fun with my friends.
People who, you know, maybe don't golf locally very often, the first thing they're asking, okay, what's going to cost me if I go to Portage Lake?
I think greens fees right now, you know, that's a good question. I think if you rent a cart and 18 holes, it's probably right around $50. I think if you walk, it's right around $35, I want to say right now, but I'm not.
Well, $50 with a cart for 18 holes is a bargain.
Yeah, you know, people, you know, it seems expensive, but the season's short. We got a great product, and, you know, it's hard to beat that. You know, like I said, people, pretty much everyone you talk to that plays our course will, just talks about what immaculate shape it's in, and you know, we appreciate all the compliments that they always give us.
And after every nice round of golf, there's always you know, something cold to drink and something nice to eat at following at the clubhouse, and you know, that's a nice, always good way to top off a round of golf. So, you know, no matter how bad you do out there in the course, you can, you know, certainly, you know, finish off a burger in pretty good proficiency when it's all done. So, Jeff, I want to say thank you for coming out. I know this is a busy time of year as you're getting the course ready and, you know, coming out and doing an interview right now instead of being out there in the green and getting things going. I appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me. Anytime I can promote Forge Lake Golf Course and, you know, our staff out there, you know, I love the place. I know everybody else that works there loves it and appreciate the time.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.